Frank.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. A little bit nervous. It's funny. I've had the good fortune to do this a couple of times before, but it's still nerve-wracking coming up here. And it's not like there's a million people in here. You know, my home group's a pretty big group, and there's just about this many people in here on a weekly basis at my home group. But it's something about being here, being at a podium or something, makes you feel a little bit awkward. So, but I'm going to obviously just share my experience, strength, and hope as best as I can about walking the walk. I really appreciate being here with Bob and with Aaron. You know, we go really way back, all three of us together, and I just want to acknowledge Aaron, because he was nervous as heck. I mean, he's never done this before, like he shared. I thought he did a great job. So, and I apologize ahead of time, because I'm listening to what Aaron shared, and I'm probably going to share some very similar things. I mean, my story is similar to Aaron's in some ways, and certainly a lot of the things that Aaron hit upon as far as what walking the walk is all about is probably some things I'm going to share about too. But you know what? All I can do is sit up here and tell the truth. And that's it. So I'll go ahead and get rolling. And you know, I look back on my life, and certainly before I share about walking the walk to any degree, I have to share about what it was like for me before I started walking the walk, and before I just kind of was lost, you know, lost in addiction. And I have a very typical story too, you know. You know, I started using it at a pretty young age, and you know, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I didn't even have that thimble full of self-esteem. I love that line from Aaron. I certainly steal that from him. I have stolen it from him on numerous occasions when I've shared, because I had no self-esteem growing up. You know, I didn't fit in, just like Aaron shared about. No matter where I went, it seemed like I was a fifth wheel. It seemed like I just did not fit in wherever I went. I never could seem to hold friendships for any length of time. I just really struggled, you know, and from a social standpoint. And I started using it at a pretty young age, and it made all those feelings go away. They'd only go away temporarily. They'd always come right back. We know that. They'd come roaring back. But just taking the edge off of those feelings, I was desperate for that. And the other thing I was desperate for at that point in my life, and I'm talking about my adolescence, my early teens, man, did I want some acceptance and some acknowledgement from my peers. And when I was using, when I was doing the things I was doing at that point in my life, it felt like that was happening. Yeah, there was a ton of negative stuff associated with my using, and the attention I was getting was negative, but I didn't care. As long as somebody was finally paying attention to me, and I felt like I was fitting in somewhere. And it blew up in my face. You know, I thought I had things under control as far as my addiction, and a few years into it, I started experimenting with numerous different chemicals, and it just exploded, you know, and things got really, really rough. And it kind of stayed that way into my mid-20s. And, you know, the funny thing is, looking back on my life, before I started walking the walk, I would talk the talk a lot. You know, as I got older, as I saw, you know, a lot of the guys that I grew up with and people that I was around, I mean, that their lives started growing. They started doing things with their lives. They had ambitions. They started achieving things. And all I could do is say, well, you know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to live there. I'm going to accomplish that, you know. And none of it would ever come to fruition while I was using. And just like Aaron was saying, you know, the other thing is it was always someday. And the biggest thing that was always someday or tomorrow, you know, really, was my using. You know, how many times did I throw away, you know, whatever it was, the pipe or whatever apparatus we were using to put whatever chemical we were putting in our body to satisfy our addiction, how many times did we break it or shatter it or throw it away, swear to ourselves we're never going to do that to ourselves again, only to be a slave to it again the very next day, you know? And, man, I was just a prisoner. I was just a prisoner to my addiction for a lot of years. And, you know, things got really, really bad for me, you know, as things progressed. And things got really bad into my late teens and early 20s. You know, one thing I can say is I always, as far as rationalizing or justifying my addiction, mostly rationalizing it, I could always tell myself things like, I didn't do this drug, or I didn't do that drug, or I didn't do it in this way or that way. But the truth is, by the time I was in my late teens, I had done all the things I said I was never going to do concerning my addiction. And my entire life was falling apart around me. You know, I mean, I was just certainly creating a path of destruction that was pretty notable. And I was hurting a lot of people, and probably most of all, just simply hurting myself. I'll say one thing about my addiction. It expanded my vocabulary, because by the time I got to that point, I got to learn the meaning of words like dereliction, depression, eviction, institution, incarceration. I got to really expand my vocabulary, you know, and it wasn't a good thing, you know, what was going on in my life at that point. You know, things had gotten really, really, really out of hand. And all I did during that whole time frame that I've just been talking about for the last 5 minutes or so is talk a talk. You know, I wasn't taking any action. I wasn't doing anything to really give myself a fighting chance to improve my life, to start putting one foot in front of the other and start doing the next right thing. And things got real, real bad for me. You know, a couple of relapses, because I did try to get clean a couple of times. I was introduced to 12-step recovery and Narcotics Anonymous at a very young age. The first time I was institutionalized, I was 17. I was institutionalized by my family. They didn't know what else to do with me at that point in time. And an H&I meeting was brought into that institution on a regular basis. You know, so I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous at a pretty young age, especially way back then. There wasn't a whole lot of young people in recovery, you know, 30 or so years ago. And I did, you know, believe that there was some help for me out there. And I guess I half-heartedly did try to get into recovery, try to get clean on a couple of occasions. And one time I actually put together about a year of clean time. But the problem with that was all I was doing was staying off of the chemicals, you know, not putting the actual drugs in my body. I was still just talking the talk, because I was still lying, I was still thieving, I was still gambling, I was still womanizing. I was still doing all the things directly associated with my addiction, you know, with the exception of actually putting chemicals in my body. And I don't have to tell you guys, not a whole lot changed in my life. It didn't work so well that way. You know, as far as sponsorship was concerned back then, you know, I had a guy that I asked to be my sponsor, just so that when somebody asked me who my sponsor was, I could point and say, Mark's my sponsor. You know, I even remember back then, you know, I had like a default. If somebody would ask me what step I was working on, I'd always say the third step, because it was really vague and I wasn't sure how I felt about God, and we'd just leave it at that. You know, and you know, that was my MO. That's kind of how I ran back then. And I don't have to tell you guys, I ended up relapsing. You know, and I relapsed really, really hard that time in particular. And things got really rough for me after that. I mean, I did, like I said, stay clean for a little over a year. And I did accrue a few things. I actually held a job for a little over a year. Who knew that could happen? But when I relapsed that time, boy, I relapsed hard. And it's just like, you know, it's just like you read in our literature. I picked up, you know, exactly where I left off. I mean, it was not 48 hours before I was with the same people doing the same things, you know, and it wasn't a few weeks before I lost my job, and it wasn't, you know, a couple of months before I lost my place to live again. And, you know, my whole world came crashing down around me again. And I stayed in that relapse for 3 years, and it was just pure arrogance, you know, and pride that kept me out there, because I did hang around the rooms for about a year. I did the social thing. I got to know some people. And the last thing I wanted to do was come back in here and say, I need your help. I was wrong. I gotta be more open-minded. I gotta be humble. And I had to go out there and get beaten up for 3 more years. And a lot of not yets happened to me during that 3 years. Things got really, really rough. And I guess I'm grateful for all that to have occurred, because it finally got me to surrender wholeheartedly. It got me to a bottom that at least for today has kept me around for a few 24 hours. And, you know, a lot of things changed for me, you know, once I really did wholeheartedly surrender. You know, I certainly became teachable, and I became humble. And you know, there's a guy in recovery, and you know, I mentioned Aaron, you know, talking or saying his little thing about a thimble full of self-esteem. I love that. And there's something else that's said by a guy in our area. that really hits home with me, and that's that he was willing to listen like only the dying are willing to listen. And that's how I felt at the time. You know, I knew that my time had run short, as far as, if not run out completely, as far as me being able to stay out there and use. It just wasn't working anymore, and I felt like I was desperate enough to just listen to any suggestion that was offered to me and do anything that was necessary. And I was. And I took the simple suggestions of recovery wholeheartedly this time. You know, what did I do? Well, I went to meetings every day. You know, I got service positions. I got a sponsor, for real. You know, I listened to what he had to say. I took suggestions. I jumped in his back pocket. I started working step work. I started praying. Some of that was faking it till I made it, but it got me to where I'm at today. I went to meetings early. I stayed late. I hung out afterwards, you know, with people that, you know, people that were the winners. You hear that a lot in NA, and it's the truth. I mean, I certainly am going to be a product of my environment in general. That's how our lives work, I think, in a lot of ways. And if I surround myself with people that are in recovery and not necessarily recovering, I'm probably not going to get a whole lot out of my relationship with those people. But if I hang out with some folks that are really working on something, I think it's going to work out a whole lot better for me in the long run. And I did. And I tried to surround myself with a lot of people that really were a positive influence on me and a great power of example. People that were walking the walk, you know. And I finally was starting to walk the walk, you know. And you know, one thing that Aaron talked about a little bit in reference to that specifically was service. That's one of the first things that comes to mind for me. And yeah, I mean, I've done a number of things service-wise on a group level. I've, you know, certainly held tons of service positions there, especially at my home group. And you know, Aaron mentioned area of service. And I haven't spent a ton of my recovery involved in area of service, but I've certainly been a GSR a few times. I have a great respect for people who do that kind of stuff. It's not really my thing so much anymore, but I appreciate the fact that I did do it a few times. It taught me a lot about the service structure. It taught me a lot about, you know, where the money flow goes, which is important. You know, I want to be a part of this thing. I want to be able to carry a message. I want to be able, you know, to deliver an opportunity and a message of hope, you know, to people that are out there that haven't gotten this thing yet. And you know, going to area service is a great way to understand how that works and hopefully be a part of that, you know. I've certainly gotten real involved in H&I. And that's probably, you know, I've done a lot of different things service-wise, but that's the one thing that really holds true for me still at this point in my recovery. I got a couple of service positions in H&I, and I do get a lot out of that. And one thing in particular, and I gripe, you know, once a month I take a meeting into the Montgomery County Correctional Facility, and it's a long drive for me to go up there, and I gripe every time I'm stuck on 270 on my way up there. And the bureaucracy, I don't know if anyone here in the meeting today has had any experience with taking an H&I meeting into a jail. This is the only jail I've done it in, but my guess is the bureaucracy situation in the jail in Montgomery County is not all that different than most other jails, and it's really difficult to deal with. It can be really, really trying and frustrating. But you know what? As much as I gripe on the way up 270, and as much as I get frustrated with all of the things and all the hoops you have to jump through in order to maintain my volunteer status there and be able to go, and I've been doing it for a long time up there, I can't think of a single thing I do in recovery, you know, on a consistent basis that I feel such gratitude for, and that I feel like I really did something worthwhile, you know, as I do when I leave that facility. And the gratitude I feel when I'm walking out those doors and going back home, you know, is a big deal, because I know by all rights I should be in there. You know, I should be in there. And, you know, H&I has certainly meant a lot to me in general, and that's something that I've really stayed close to for many, many years as a part of my recovery. You know, my home group is really important to me. You know, I really, really try to stay focused, and our home group as a whole tries to stay focused, you know, on being available, being very aware of what we need to do to help carry our message. I mean, one thing we do I'm really proud of is once a year we have a at one of our business meetings, we run through the fifth tradition and we have, you know, a few questions that we ask ourselves. You know, what can we do to make ourselves more available? What can we do to make our meeting facility feel more welcoming? What can we do to help carry the message and to help newcomers, most importantly, feel welcome? And I really try to focus on that. You know, I'm not I'm not a guy that opens his mouth a lot. I just don't. Maybe that's selfish. I mean, I got to be honest, most of the time I just don't feel like I have anything particularly important to say. And if I do, I raise my hand. But I don't. But the one thing I do that I think is really important to me, and I don't know how things work in the area that some of you folks are from. I know different areas kind of have different little quirky things that we do as far as meeting format and the way we close meetings or whatever. But one thing that we do in the Montgomery area, if somebody raises their hands and identifies themselves as a newcomer, in most meetings, typically someone will grab a phone book, will pass that phone book around the meeting, people will put their name and number in there, and the person will hopefully walk out of there. But yeah, how many people actually get phone calls from those people, really? Yeah, how many? And I think it is the silliest thing. And what I do for me personally, if I see someone that I feel like I have any connection to, a gentleman, maybe somewhere close to my age, whatever, maybe he shared something, you know, that maybe we have something in common work-wise, even the littlest thing. And sometimes there might not have to be anything that I'm really feeling a connection with. I get up, I talk to that person. I, of course, welcome them to be in the meeting. I ask them for their number, and the next day I call them and I tell them what meeting I'm going to be at that night or the next night and invite them to join me. You know, that's walking the walk, okay? Because, you know, that whole phone book thing, it's just ridiculous to me because I've been around for 22 years. I've written my name in a lot of phone books. Thank you. And it's been a lot of years since I've even bothered putting my name in one because I know how that goes 99 times out of 100. And I want to give people a fighting chance. You know, I not only want to welcome them in that meeting, I want to give them a fighting chance. And I need to show up if I want that to occur. You know, applying principles in my life. As far as walking the walk, obviously we're talking about the steps. Aaron talked a little bit about the steps for sure, and I agree wholeheartedly about the fourth step. I think it is vital. I've worked a couple of them in my life, and I'm really excited. I actually have a new sponsor. See, I haven't sponsored anybody that's been new in a long time, and we're getting ready to enter that little adventure together here really, really soon, like in the next week or so. And I'm really excited for him. You know, I am, because I know what a turning point that was for me. And the biggest thing is, not just the fourth step, obviously, it gives us some enlightenment into ourselves, into our past, you know, the environments we came from, and maybe it explains a lot of things for a guy like me as far as why I do the things I do, I hope. That's the whole purpose of it. But, I mean, it's the couple of steps that follow, especially when I think about the sixth and seventh steps, and applying those principles in my life, because hopefully by that point I have some self-awareness, I have some self-acceptance, and I'm able to take an honest look at the relationships I have in my life, at work, with family, with friends, and I can actually hopefully start making some changes in my life. You know, I'm not a guy that quotes the literature much, but one of my favorite lines in all of NA literature is, "It works how and why," in the sixth step. And it's about halfway through it, and it says, "When the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than my fear of change, I will surely let go." And I want to well up when I just saying that, because I just know how much the quality of my relationships have changed since I've been willing to do some work, do some introspection, take an honest assessment of myself, write, share, get some guidance, and hopefully not act like that anymore. I fall short all the time, you know, especially with those that I'm closest to. But hopefully I've made some headway in that area, and I believe I have, you know. Other steps that come to mind, things like the 10th step. I was thinking, one thing I was thinking about this morning, just randomly, I was thinking about a few things I might want to share. Of course, we all obsess about, you know, stuff like this when we're getting ready to get up here. But I was thinking about one thing. And, you know, it's the little things that can just completely derail us. And I've heard that shared so many times of folks who had a lot of clean time. I'm a contractor, okay? And I'm always in Home Depot. I mean, and I'm in there, I don't know, maybe a year ago. Maybe it's 2 years ago. I'm not even sure. And I'm walking, and I need some fasteners to finish this job. And I'm walking through, and what do? I slip these couple of little nuts and bolts in my pocket, and I walk out the door. Now, I mean, we're talking 75 cents worth of hardware here. 75 cents, and with my luck, I'm going to end up with handcuffs on because some little camera saw me put 75 cents worth of hardware in my pocket. But the only thing I can say in reference to that is that a couple days later, that very next Sunday morning, I went to a meeting and I shared about it, you know, and I made a mistake. I reverted back to who I am at the core of my being. I'm still a thief. That's obvious. I just proved that by saying what I told you guys. But I tried to walk the walk. And by sharing about it in that meeting, guess what? It's a lot less likely that I'm going to go do something like that again. You know? The ninth step, I'll share one thing. And I think this is one story. I've had a lot of different ninth step experiences that were so powerful to me and opened up my world in so many ways. But there's one experience I had where I was working the ninth step and I was trying to work it a little bit early on in my recovery, and it's kind of funny how God works, I guess, how things happen. All things happen for a reason. I truly believe that. And I was in a relationship with a woman towards the tail end of my active addiction. And this woman, I had hurt so deeply and was so resentful towards me that she didn't only move, she moved and basically napalmed every possible bridge for me to get in contact with her ever again. Okay? And I didn't see her for a lot of years. And I was about 5 years, 6 years clean. Maybe 4 or 5, it doesn't matter. And I'm having lunch with a buddy of mine. Okay? And as it turns out, we're just talking. He's like best friends. This is a buddy in recovery. He is best friends with her now husband. And I was blown away. And I so deeply, look, the child in me, what did I want? I wanted her to tell me it was okay. That everything I did is water under the bridge and it's okay. And you know what happened? He went and mentioned the idea that I wanted to have contact with her and work a ninth step. And the roof almost came off the house. You know? And man, he was pretty adamant about how angry she was at the whole prospect of him even proposing the idea of me approaching her and working a ninth step. And you know what? Did that hurt my little ego? Of course. You know, of course. But I had to respect that and accept that. About 3 or 4 years later, my friend that I was having lunch with was getting married. And guess who the best man at his wedding was? Her husband. I had to talk to my sponsor about it a lot, find out what I was supposed to do, what boundaries. It was just a really uncomfortable situation because it was my friend's wedding, okay? I went to the wedding. She was there. I was there. And I was scared to death. I mean, I'm like just so trying to stay on the other side of the reception hall, other side of the church, totally respect her space. I mean, I'm like trying to keep 50 feet between me and her. I'm like trying not to even make eye contact, you know, and just so respect her wishes and her place. And about 15 minutes into the reception, she walked up to me and she gave me a big giant hug and she said, "It's okay." And she said, "I love you. And I'm really, really happy that you've gotten your life together." And the reason I share that is it went a step further than that. That following week, because we talked and, you know, chatted, and my mom loved this girl. We were together on and off for about 3 years. And she got my mom's phone number and contact information. And she brought her small children over to my mom's house and had lunch with my mom. And my mom glowed for like a week after that, you know. And why did that happen? Why did recovery work in my life? Why did it touch my life and make me feel the way I feel right now just talking about it? And why did it improve my mom's life? Because I was finally walking the walk. And, you know, it's stuff like that that's just really, really cool about recovery and about being able to come around here and allow life to happen, you know. And life has happened for me. Because I've walked the walk, I've managed, and with all of your help, I've managed to go to school, you know, go to college. I have my own business today. It is nothing big. It's a tiny little business. It's mostly just me, but it's mine. and I built it from the ground up, and I'm really proud of it, and people trust me, and people refer me to their friends and family, and I'm busy as all get out all the time. You know, I own a home today. Who thought that would ever happen? You know, who thought that would ever happen? I've gotten to travel all over the place. You know, I mean, I'm not bragging, but the truth is I've been to like probably 30 different countries in the last 22 years. I did a lot of traveling, you know, and continue to do so. I became an avid scuba diver. I got to pursue my dreams. I got to pursue my things that my interests. I got to grow up and just learn about myself. You know, through walking the walk, it's just offered me an opportunity for growth, an opportunity to experience life, an opportunity to accomplish a lot of these things, an opportunity to be a productive member of society. You know, and you know, I guess that in general, all I can say is I hope that myself as an individual at this point in my life, I hope that I set an example for other people. Like I said when I was sharing about the sixth step, yeah, I fall short all the time, you know, but a lot less than I used to. I'm aware of what I do. I try to make it right, and I try to grow up, you know, little by little as best as I can. And, you know, it's all, you know, just a matter of walking the walk and doing the next right thing, putting one foot in front of the other. And I have to say that in general, you know, walking the walk has given me a sense of pride, a sense of self-respect. It's given me, I don't know about a shot glass full, that might be the wrong connotation for the self-esteem, but it's definitely given me a thimble full of self-esteem, and it's made me feel really, really good about myself. And the truth is, it's opened the door for my dreams to come true, you know, and dreams do come true for all of us here in Narcotics Anonymous if we stick around and just hopefully do the next right thing. So that's it. I don't know if I got anything else. I guess we probably still have a little bit of time. If anybody wants to come up and share, we're going to leave the mic open. So thank you very much.